Life is a journey,
not a destination,
and you don't need to go it alone.
Join me for practical tips and strategies on using mindfulness techniques and creating mindset shifts that can reduce stress, improve productivity, and give you a fresh perspective on work and life.
This is a Candy Factory Mini.
Mastering the Mindful Mindset.
With Jose Johnson.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Mastering the Mindful Mindset. I'm your host, Jose Johnson. Today, we're going to explore the power that words have on our reality. But first, let's set the stage properly by doing a little reset. Now, if you watched episode one, you'll hopefully remember this exercise. If you haven't watched it yet, don't worry. You can easily follow along. Just make sure you go back and watch it later to catch all the details. So you can be either sitting or standing. And if you want, put one hand just below your belly button and the other one in the small of your back. And want to imagine that your abdomen is like a big balloon. And when we're going to take a nice deep breath in, it'll expand. And when you exhale, it contracts. So let's go ahead and do this. A deep breath in. And let the breath out. And again, breathing in. And letting it go. And one more deep breath in. And relax. Let it go. All right. Hopefully that little reset has allowed you to clear your mind a little bit and get you in the right state of mind for our time together today. Now, let's talk about words. Words are the main tool that we use to communicate with others. They are a way of taking the thoughts, ideas, beliefs, and feelings that we have inside and sharing them with someone. They're our way of taking the abstract, defining it, and then expressing it. Now, there's a great deal of power in the words that we use. There's actually an old saying that the pen is mightier than the sword. And if current society has taught us nothing else, it's that words can be used to either heal a nation or tear it apart. Words are typically a precursor to action, but not always in the way you might think. Sure, sometimes someone may literally tell you what's on their mind, but the power of words goes way beyond that. The words that we chronically and unconsciously choose to use gives a tremendous amount of insight into a person's thoughts and beliefs about you, their situation, and particularly about themselves. When I was running my martial arts studio, I had a little exercise that I would use that often frustrated my students, but it was very helpful at getting to the root cause of a problem. I called it the Austin Powers exercise. Now, if you've ever watched the movie Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery, you may know what I'm talking about. You see, there's this scene when Austin is being brought out of his suspended animation. And he begins to defrost, and as he defrosts, he begins to talk. And what comes out of his mouth are all the thoughts going on in his head. The kind of stuff you wouldn't normally say out loud. He realizes and says, "Because of the unfreezing process, I have no inner monologue. I hope I didn't say that out loud just now." See, we all have an inner monologue. Things that we think about, but try not to say out loud. It's part of our brain's ability to process and our mind's ability to consciously control our actions. But the thing is that while we don't always let the words out, we can never hide the message for long. So how did my exercise work? Well, okay, I'll let you in on my little secret. If someone was having difficulty with a particular series of actions or concepts, I would ask them to go through it slowly, but to remove their inner monologue. The exercise was to talk through everything in real time. Whatever came up in their head needed to come out of their mouths. Now, I have to admit, there was usually a lot of swearing involved, but the process brought to my attention, and more importantly, to my students' attention, where their thought process was off. I would identify through their words points where they were either thinking about an action in the wrong way, or in some cases, they weren't thinking at all. But most telling was to have them hear what they said about themselves, the negative self-talk. Things like, "I can't do this," "I'll never get this," or my favorite, "God, I suck." We choose the words we use based on their meaning and the emotions behind them. There's a big difference between having an enjoyable evening and having the absolute best night of your life. Just like there's a huge difference between saying that life is challenging and life sucks. One of the other tricks I used during my coaching days, and I still use every day, it's to listen to the words that people habitually say. I learned that what you say when you're not thinking about what you are saying sheds lights on how you really think. Say what? So let me clarify that statement for you. When you are aware that someone is listening to you, or you're trying to persuade someone, you become careful about the words you use. You start to say the words that they want to hear, or that you want them to hear. But when the conversation is casual, or if you think no one is listening, your word choices give an interesting glimpse into your thought process. For example, I would often have people come up to me and tell me how much they wanted to be a champion athlete like I became. And typically my response would be to first ask why, and then I'd shift the conversation to some other topic like their work, their family, their pets, their car, anything that might give me an insight into their mindset. See, when they were no longer trying to sell me on their desire, I could pick up on what their view of themselves and life really was. Like if they told me they didn't have a dog because they were so busy that they didn't have time to take care of one. Well, that tells me they probably don't have time to commit to training. Or if they start talking about how much they hate work. You know, they know more about XYZ than anyone else in their company and how much it irritates them when their boss nitpicks their performance. Well, that tells me they don't currently have the personality to be coached. It's when we let down our guard that the real us slips out through the words. So I have a couple of exercises I want to share with you that can help you to consciously take advantage of some word power so that you can create a shift in your personal reality. The first exercise, I call the Rambler. You know how in a courtroom everything is documented and transcribed? Well, for this exercise, you're going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. For this exercise, you'll need some type of voice-to-text software on your phone or computer. If you don't have that, you can just record yourself and send a recording to an online transcription service, or you can just transcribe it yourself. But what you're going to do is you're going to give a detailed description of something in your life. Maybe it's your work or your relationships, maybe it's your health, or just how your date went. Whatever topic you choose, just start talking about it until you run out of things to say. Just ramble on. Now, once you're done, take that transcription and study it. Highlight the emotionally charged words and look for recurring phrases that you use to describe yourself and your situation. Now, copy those words and phrases into a fresh document. The words on that page will give you an unfiltered insight into how you view yourself and your situation. Once you can see it clearly, ask yourself if that is really the way that you want to view things. If it is, great. If it's not, then you now know what things you need to start working on. All right, the second exercise is the let me rephrase that exercise. Right, this is a great one to do after doing our previous exercise. So you're going to create a list of words or phrases that you want to stop using. Maybe it's, I hate my job, or people are stupid, or life is unfair, or I suck. Right? Now, write a phrase that you would prefer to use, like, my job is challenging me, people are interesting, life can be a mystery, I've still got a lot to learn. So whatever it is, make a deal with yourself that whenever you catch yourself saying those words, you immediately stop and say, let me rephrase that, and use your new statement. Now, if you want to make it more interesting, put some skin in the game, like you would with a swear jar. Have someone in your family or at your office help to hold you accountable. Every time they hear you say a forbidden phrase, you have to pay up as well as rephrase. Exercise number three is to use affirmations. Now, to affirm means to state something as fact. It's putting your beliefs into words. Now, there are many people who think that the use of positive affirmations is a bunch of nonsense, that they don't work. But the truth is that we use affirmations every day, and more often than not, they're negative in nature. We affirm all the things about ourselves and others that we dislike, that we don't want. And the more we do that, the more we see of it. That's what is often referred to as the law of attraction. It's the things that we repeatedly hear that stick in our minds, like the things that your parents said about you when you were a kid, or the things that you say about yourself every day. The more you hear it, the more you believe it. So create a list of things that you will say to yourself every day to create new facts about your life. Affirmations should follow the 3 P's principle. They should be personal, positive, and in the present tense. So an example of a positive affirmation about work might be, every day I have the opportunity to learn something new, or my work makes a difference in the world, even when I can't see it. Or let's say you're trying to get into shape. Use something like, I make healthy eating decisions, or exercise is important to me, or I'm working towards my ideal weight. If you need a little help getting started with creating your own affirmations, I have some bonus content that's available for you. So just follow the link and you're going to get the worksheets and some example affirmations. Right. The last exercise is to create a daily to-be list. Now, if you're a busy person, you probably have a to-do list, but what about a to-be list? We tend to get so caught up with all the things we need to do that we overlook how we want to do those things and who we need to be to accomplish them. A to-be list can be used in conjunction with your to-do list. It's about deciding in advance how you want to be when you do what you do. This can be the way you want to feel about yourself or about the way that you want other people to perceive you. So a to-be use uses I am statements. Now, these are very similar to affirmations, but I look at I ams as concentrated affirmations. When I create I ams, I try to keep them as simple, single statements. So while an affirmation might be, I always make the best of a situation, the I am would focus on the core trait or skill like I am persistent or I am creative. I suggest having multiple lists of I ams because each facet of your life requires you to show up a little differently. If you're a CEO, you may have statements like I'm determined or I am successful. But when you're taking care of your children, you may need to be thinking I am patient and I am caring. So if you use a to-do list or even just a schedule on your phone, add a to-be note on the appointment. Have a project presentation? Put in I am confident on your agenda. Have a test you're taking? Try something like I am prepared or I am focused. Have an appointment with your accountant? Well, maybe that's a good time for I am calm. Just make sure that your I ams are powerful words that clearly describe the way that you want to show up in whatever it is that you're doing. You can say them out loud or just read them. You can do things like sticky notes on your computer, index cards on your desk, or even put alarms on your phone. Remember, the more you see and hear these words, the faster you begin to accept them as being true. So there you have some quick and easy ways to mindfully tap into the power of words. Just remember that our words are the way that we describe our reality, what we are thinking, feeling, and experiencing. And the quickest way to change your experience is to change the words you use to describe it. Okay, so thank you for spending some time with me today, and I hope you join me next week for more ways to master your mindful mindset. If you have a question or topic you would like me to cover in a future episode, simply drop it in the comment section, and I'll do my absolute best to help you out. So, until next time, remember, it is what it is, but it becomes what you make of it. So make it great. Mastering the Mindful Mindset is part of the Candy Factory mini-series and is a proud member of the Candy Factory Collective. You can find the show streaming on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, LinkedIn, and you can subscribe to the audio version anywhere you get your podcast.
Jose Johnson has traveled the world competing and teaching martial arts.
He's an entrepreneur, musician, author, and speaker.
Check out Jose's other podcast,
The Trumpet Guru's Hang,
and learn more about his book, Mindfulness Secrets, at his website,
josejohnson.com.
Mastering the Mindful Mindset is produced by the Candy Factory Collective
at the Candy Factory Co-working Campus in Lancaster, PA.
Our music was written and recorded by Jose. Production support by Anna Tran.
Administrative support by Ann Kirby, Ariana Henderson,
Krisha Martzel, Jason Mundock, and Robert Diggs.
Notes and links can be found at the show post at our website,
CandyFactoryCollective.com.
Candy Factory.
Collective.